Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Guineas Ante Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough. Dave Orton's in the studio with me, and we also have Tom Siegel and Darren Hughes from Paddy Power as well. Now, the Grand National has just been and gone, so we don't want to enter too much into that on this Guineas Ante Postcast. But Darren, you were a little bit wrong on Tiger Roll. He did win in the end. What a result it was.
I still say it was a bad price. I don't care. look, fair play to him. Absolutely brilliant. I think everybody was a winner from the race. Like, the actual sport itself has become a winner. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to the next year. Like, he's going to be, like, going around opening up primary schools and stuff like that. Shopping centres, I'd say, if Gordon Elliott let him out of the back of the van. Look, not the worst result in the world for us, as Binners would have said on the weekend. And I think, as I said, yeah, racing overall is a winner. And probably Tom Segal's ego is a winner as well.
100%. And I think a few people would argue with you. I know he's gone and won, but it was a really, really short price. All the things that can happen in a Grand National. Tom, and you were right. You said there were only 10 horses who could win it. And a lot of those 10 were in the first 10.
Well, one thing I take out of it is that, having watched it so closely so many times since, the fences, magic of life, literally walked through the chair, didn't she? Mm. She literally didn't take off at the chair. Now, that's great for the race. It's absolutely fantastic. It's the way we should be going. I've got no qualms about it. But it's, you know, we've, as punters and as people that like race, we've got to realise that jumping's not that important in the Grand National anymore. It's clearly not. Rathvinden should have fallen twice.
Magic of Light
should have fallen twice, shouldn't she? You know, at the last, in the years gone by, you know, made a mistake like that, she might have come down. So I think we've got to change our way of thinking about it a bit now, and therefore concentrate on just who can run the fastest.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say, isn't
it,
Dave?
We don't want to
dwell too long on this, but it was a great result, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he'll be back next year and he'll win again.
I love that. Love that confidence. Anyway, we'll talk about the 2000 guineas. That's why we're here. Too darn hot. Hopefully we'll see him this weekend in the Greenham at Newbury. Darren, run us through the prices. He's going to be a very hot favourite, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He's too darn hot of a favourite. He's even money. 10 sovereigns then is 13 to 2. Calyx is 10s. Magna Grecia is 10s. Zakuski is 10s. Advertise is 14s. Line of Duty is 16s. Persian King is 16s. And it's 20s bar.
Yeah, now it's happened a lot on these anti-postcasts where Too Darn Hot, of course, he's the best horse, but at that price, are we going to see any value? Is there any juice left in it? What are his potential weaknesses, Dave? Do you see any?
Yes, absolutely, there are. If you're talking about, I mean, he's looking like he's going to reoppose on Saturday in the Greenham. We're expecting that. He's come through sparkling in a gallop, so they're saying. And Gosden's record in the race, for one, is not good. He's never won it. He had King Man beaten in it. The Lion, of course, last year. He doesn't tend to overtrain them early on, definitely not. And that's usually why you see them going for a trial.
Yeah.
Absolutely, definitely. I mean, it's kind of what you might call the Frankel route. The comparisons were there in the ratings, a racing post rating of 126 when he took out the Dewhurst, extremely well-named horse last year. He's a bit of a freak, isn't he? Because he's by a Dabawi, but yet the dam side of the pedigree suggests he should be a Derby horse. He handles the track. What's not to like? I just wonder how he's wintered in comparison to some of the other dark horses, and there are a lot of them. And we have to be thinking now, if you're steaming into an 11 to 10 shot after Saturday, probably going to go odds on.
Yeah.
What price could he go? So it's a tricky one if you're not on him already.
Yeah.
He could easily win.
And we are yet to see him. I mean, there were horses like Air Force Blue and that who looked unbeatable at two. You thought, oh, this is great. And then they just didn't train on for whatever reason, Tom. I mean, how good do you think Too Darn Hot is and could be?
He's just about the best horse I've seen since Frankel. I have absolutely no doubt he's going to win the guineas whatsoever. But like Dave says, there's too many unknowns. I mean, if he's the horse he was last year, he'll win. Simple as that. He's miles, miles better. Everything he did last year marked him down as just totally exceptional. Total freak. If he comes into the guineas in the same form, then he'll win. Simple as that. There's nothing that can touch him. None of those horses that we saw last year can get anywhere near him.
In any set of scenarios?
He's better than them. He's faster than them. He stays better than them. He's just better than them. You know, obviously, the only scenarios that can undo him are trouble in running or drawn on the wrong side of the track or things like that. I personally have no worries that Gosden will get him there. You know, let's be honest. I just think he's an absolute wonder horse. I hope he wins. It's exactly the same scenario we've got as Tiger Roller. Go back to Tiger Roller again in the National, isn't it? We're sitting here trying to find ways to get him beat. Would I back him at 11 to 10? No. Do I think he'll win? Yes.
Okay. Hopefully you've got an alternative up your sleeve for us then. Darren, what's your thoughts on Too Darn Hot?
Nyan, impossible to
you
pick.
Know where you went last week, Darren. Come on.
Well, just it's not like you, Tom, to put up a favourite for a massive race. Jesus, I'm fancy him. I know. Look, it's Nyan, impossible to pick holes in this lad. Like
Hooray, well done.
Thanks. Yeah, I came in trying to do it. Like, you know me, I tried to be there. I tried to be cynical. Tried to be picky. Genuinely could not fault him. He's literally done everything. Mm. He's won on good to soft. He's won on good. He's won on good to firm. He's won in 7 furlongs, he's won at 8 furlongs. He's gone into the dip, he's come out of the dip fine, and he's won impressively. Nothing has got close to him. Like, I cannot, just on paper, there are no negatives.
Therefore, do you think he should be, would you take the price now before he goes odds on, like Dave says?
Not my style, to be honest. No, I wouldn't. It's not my style to take even money on New York this far out, because especially given the profile of his family, which is just what I'm going to touch on, is the only hypothetical danger is they are a delicate family by nature. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say that's the same thing with this lad, but...
Well, he wasn't sold because he had an injury as a young horse, wasn't he? That's the only reason they kept him.
That's it, yeah. They don't generally keep the colts down there. The only other thing, and this is maybe a bit left field, and I could be arseways with this, to be honest, but he's a Dubawi, and he's probably the first top class two-year-old Dubawi has had. They normally make better three-year-olds. So will this lad be the opposite? Will he be one of those who's a top-class two-year-old and doesn't make a top-class three-year-old? That's a question that might be worth asking. But, you know, you're really clutching at straws here. I'm struggling to pick holes in him because he hasn't done anything wrong yet.
Okay, let's move a bit further down the list. I must mention, I think one of the things this year that's interesting is so many of these, I think, are either sprinters, and I think they'll be better off in the Commonwealth Cup or something like that down the line, or they seem like the sort of, you know, speedy, precocious two-year-olds who might not train on. One of those who I think could just be all about speed is 10 Sovereigns, the Middle Park winner. I'm not quite convinced by his attitude, Dave. He looked as if he could be very, very special, but something about the way he won at Newmarket suggested to me he's not entirely straightforward.
Well, this is the stat that we wheel out at this time of year all the time. Not since 1999, an Ireland Sands one had a horse not run over 7 furlongs as a juvenile and taken out our guineas. History, therefore, dictates that they don't usually stay. He's an interesting horse because he's by Noné Never, a top sprinter for Wes Ward a couple of seasons back, who's having loads of sharp sorts. But on the dam side, it suggests he should be running over a mile two, a little bit like Too Darn Hot. Will he stay? Probably not, I don't think. Middle Park and all that, it's just all sprinting, isn't it? But there is an interesting side, and he's obviously trained by an absolute genius, as we well know. It will be interesting to see what the market does with it. It suggests he's going to turn up. It suggests he's wintered well. His head carriage didn't do it for everyone, did it?
No.
I wonder if that was just because he was so overhyped, maybe. I don't know. And they were looking for something, you know, of real star quality last year when they had that sort of virus in the yard and things weren't always going that well. So it will be very, very interesting to see. Certainly, and we'll get to Mad Moon in a bit, but Saturday suggests that they could have a very good year if you take that Irish Guineas trial literally.
Yes, exactly. More on Mad Moon shortly. But Tom, your thoughts on 10 Sovereigns?
Don't like him one little bit.
No?
No, not for me. Don't know if he'll stay. Don't really care if he stays. I just don't like the way he goes about things. I thought the last race at Newmarket, really, I really didn't like it. I know he won. Maybe it was the ground. But like you said, like you both said, there was something about him that was just massively off-putting for me. Now, he's trained by the best man around. But no, he's not for me. Mm. No, never out of an exceeding Selmare. You know, when they come up against Dubawis and Galileos, I think they'll be found wanting. So no, not for me.
Okay, moving on. Darren?
Yeah, I don't. You aren't giving him enough respect there, lads, to be honest with you. I wouldn't knock him. I wouldn't knock him. Like, he looks very, 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 very fast. Nearly too fast for a Guineas, but Aidan is adamant he goes to the Guineas. People go on about this head carriage, this, that, and the other. He just had a look around him. He was born idle. He wasn't killing himself, and he still managed to hold off a very, very good horse in Dash. I'd say as well, he doesn't want rattling fast ground. I would say that'd be just watching him. He does have a slight bend in his knee, and he didn't seem to be enjoying himself, but I wouldn't say he's quirky or he has any attitude issues as such. I mean, like, he came away X lengths in his maiden and he won by a couple of lengths after that as well. I'd say he just went into the dip in Newmarket. He had a proper good look around him and idled a little bit. Like, his ears were fully forward and Jash is not a bad horse.
Yeah.
So for him to beat Jash like that, only half trying, for me, that's a massive effort. You can mark up his effort in the middle park, I think.
Yeah, I must admit, at the time of the race, I remember thinking that's probably quite a strong middle park. We'll move on. A horse for me who fits into a similar category is Calyx. Not seen him due to injury, of course. Impressive, really impressive in the Coventry Stakes. But again, potentially more of a sprinter, Dave.
Yeah, you have to remember in that Coventry, they rushed him for that. His maiden was... or his novice was only just prior to that as well, wasn't it? And won't he take his chance? Obviously, they were made to pay for that for the rest of the campaign. Again, it looks like he's more speed at the minute. I tried to find something in his pedigree that suggested he would stay. We just don't know with him, do we? There's loads of holes in him at the moment. I think he's an extremely talented horse, but we have to see him come back. The trials are going to be really important this year, we should say that. Mm. Certainly the Craven, to see whether anything can maybe step out of the pack.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, do you think they'll even run Calyx in the Guineas?
No chance of running, I don't think. I think he'd have to have a trial, and John Gosden has said that he's not going to get a run into him, he doesn't think.
Okay.
So look at the exchange.
But in terms of raw ability?
Say he's not going to run. Look, I don't have any problem with him at a mile. No, I think his pedigree is all miling for me. I think he will stay a mile no problem, and I think he's, in terms of ability, he's the only thing that can get close to Too Darn Hot in terms of ability. But I just don't see, the exchanges say he's not going to run, he's not going to get a trial, and it's just not John Gosden style to run him first up in the Guineas off a long break like that. So my guess is we won't see him.
Okay, what about Magna Grisha, who won the Vertem Trophy, Dave? Camelot in 2011, the last horse to win that and go on to win the Guineas. He was sort of workmanlike in the end, second to Persian King before that, a horse who I annoyingly backed for the Guineas, who's not going to run. Yeah, I mean, you have to give him a bit of respect, but has he got that star quality?
Persian King run over the course and distance in the Autumn Stakes. Again, a bit like Calyx and the commentary I mentioned, that only came about, less than a fortnight after his debut. We only saw this guy at the end of September. And he really looked good that day, and it was probably an experience that caught him out. Mm. It was a bit of a messy finish in the Vertem, wasn't it? And I think some beaten horses in that would definitely fancy their chances of getting on top of him. I just think he's rock solid each way. He looks like they're very solid one. If you're looking for something, in the without markets or however you like to play these, you can see why he's been backed each way.
Yeah,
for sure.
Darren, Magna Grisha, does he do it for you?
Kind of does, yeah. He's a weird horse. I've been trying to wrap my head around it, or more to the point that the Race and Pose Trophy was a weird race. Like, I've watched it back a good few times and I can't really figure it out because it doesn't look like they crawled around, and yet the lads who the horse who tried making all were still there at the very end. They all finished in a massive heap. Western Australia has since been turned over in a fairly middling race in Dundalk, so that fairly knocks the form a bit. But Magna Grisha, again, similar to 10 Sovereigns, these lads went from winning their maidens to running in Group 1 races and winning them within 35 days or 36 days or whatever it was. So like that's some jump for a horse in that small space of time, especially when Aidan normally likes giving them more time between their races. He is an invincible spirit as well, so on paper he shouldn't really be getting much further than a mile, if he even gets the mile. But again, his style of racing, looking at him, he looks like he nearly wants further. He was kind of under the pump a long way before Persian King was at Newmarket, and yet he still was only beaten ahead. Persian King came there with a double handful, and he really found for pressure, did Magna Grisha, and he was only beaten by a short distance. So he's just a horse I'm struggling to get my head around at the moment. It wouldn't shock me if he hit the frame, but there are a few question marks there. I wouldn't be just diving into him now.
Okay. Mad Moon, I'll stick with you then, Darren. Beaten half a length by Never No More on his return. How disappointed were you with that? There seems to sort of split opinion this horse on whether that was good and he'll improve from it, or whether he should have really been winning.
My initial reaction was, Jesus, no, he's grand. Looking it back again, I'm kind of going, I'm not as impressed. Like, if we had done this podcast this time last week, he'd have been my selection hands down. Absolutely no question. I'd have expected him to bolt up. Like, there were excuses at the weekend. I was chatting to Sam there about him, and I'd say he was carrying a little bit of condition for starters. The ground was plenty soft for him as well. And 7 furlongs is the absolute bare minimum that he needs. Like, to be honest, I think he'll end up getting 10, 12 furlongs in time, no bother to him. He's a really good mover. He needs top of the ground as well, and he didn't get that at the weekend.
How good to Never Know More? Had the fitness edge as well.
That's what I'm just going to move on to as well. Yeah, look, I wouldn't lose faith in Mad Moon. but I'm not entirely sure the 2,000 guineas at Newmarket is going to be up his street. I think he'd be the perfect candidate for the stiffer mile at the Curragh, for the Irish 2,000 guineas if they wanted to go that route. But I wouldn't mind seeing him stepped up in trip as well.
Okay, Dave's nodding.
Yeah, he looks certain now to stay over there, I think, to my money. I think they probably would have been tempted to come over had he sailed through that. Don't forget he was carrying a penalty as well at the weekend. Chris Hayes looked like he had absolutely everything under him, didn't he? A furlong out. I think he was surprised when Ryan Moore came and mugged him at the line. Wonder if he might have kicked a bit sooner. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. He had a wide drip as well. But I was a little bit disappointed by it because it just confirmed a limitation. I thought if there was one in the market that was going to be overpriced and would crash for our guineas, it would have been him. But I do think they're going to stay.
Okay.
You have to remember as well, though, he beat Broome last year.
Yeah.
And beat him.
Yes.
And Broome absolutely shit in the Derby trial as well. I do think the plan with Matt Moon, I think, is still to go to Newmarket.
Okay.
From what I gather.
Okay.
I think so, yeah. Okay. The connections weren't one bit disappointed. They were actually reasonably happy with the performance.
We should say.
And the plan, as far as I'm aware, is to still go.
It was Kevin Prendergast's like first run of the year as well, wasn't it? I think he's.
I was trying to find
some other runners. Mm. And you couldn't be harsh about it, but I just wanted to see. I thought he was he was nailed on.
If you'd have backed him beforehand, you'd have wanted him to be winning,
absolutely,
wouldn't you? Absolutely. Tom, before I open up the floor a little bit to mention some at bigger prices, what are your thoughts on Mad Moon?
I think he's a Derby horse. I think he'll run at Newmarket because there's only a week between the Irish Guineas and the Derby. I think they entered him in the Derby last week, didn't they? They supplemented him in there. I think they'll run in the Guineas in Newmarket, and I think he'll come third or fourth, and then he'll have a cracking chance in the Derby.
So would you be really sweet on him for the Derby then?
I think he's got a good chance, yeah. I think he's a good start. I think he's a mile and a half, mile and a quarter horse. And if he can run, you know, let's not forget, it was 7 furlongs with a penalty there. If he can run any sort of race in the Guineas, which I think he will, I think he'll, I'd be quite sweet on him running in the Derby.
A bit
yeah,
like Massar then, or Roaring Lion, that sort of horse that
any
places
of those
in
generous,
the Guineas.
Any of those lot. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go down the list then. One I've not mentioned, Zakuski for Godolphin. Obviously now Quarto's out, so he'd be a representative for them. Advertised, placed a few times behind Too Darn Hot last season. Line of Duty, the Breeders' Cup winner. Persian King, as I've already mentioned, don't think he's going to go. Epic Hero, same applies to him, as well as Royal Meeting. Royal Marine, Jash, Anthony van Dijk, where is your money going to be going, Dave?
Royal Marine needs to do a Massar, doesn't he? They did that with him, of course. He came out and won the Craven, perhaps they'll go there with him. I like Zazuski, I think, Zakuski, I think he's also we're going to be hearing a lot of this year. His pedigree, lovely pedigree. Beat your horse, albeit getting a little bit of weight from Readily, that Roger Charlton thinks he absolutely well off, called Headman at Kempton.
Yes, yeah.
And he's just going under the radar. I just think whatever Godolphin are running at the moment, they've just got that buzz about, they've got a shine on them at the moment all over the globe.
Do you think Line of Duty's interesting as well? Dubai gives them a real advantage? Because do you remember how Massar absolutely bolted up at the start of the season last year?
About a decade ago, it was the worst thing they could ever do. It just never worked out for them at all. But it has obviously seemingly... Charlie Appleby, he's just a genius.
Yeah, he is indeed. Tom, who are you fancying at big prices if I'd push you to give an alternative to Too Darn Hot?
Well, I like Magna Grecia. I didn't get to have a chat about him. I like him.
Oh, sorry.
I do. I think he's a bang miler. I think he's by Invincible Spirit. As Darren quite rightly pointed out, he had 3 runs in 3 weeks or 3 ones in however the space of a very short space of time before he won the Group 1 at Doncaster. I don't think that was his best form. I think he's just a really nice, solid horse, but I don't think he's good enough to beat Too Darn Hot. But I think he's trained by a guy who's won it 9 times, hasn't he, or whatever, and he's going for his 10th win in 20 years or whatever it is, and I think he's just going to run a big race each way at 12 or 14 to 1. He'd be my choice.
Okay, and Darren, hopefully, I'm hoping that you've unearthed one at something like 50 to 1 that we can all hop onto.
25 to 1, any good to you?
Yeah, that'll do. Take it away.
There's a horse in here at 25-1. I cannot figure out how he's that price, and maybe when you can shed some light on it, because the only theory I have is that he's not going to the race, and that's Royal Meeting for Saeed bin Saror. He won his maiden in Yarmouth. He was punted off the board.
The answer, Darren, Saeed bin Saror. I don't think
people
have any faith in him anymore, do they? It's not his. You know, it's just the way the betting market goes. I think if it was Charlie Appleby, I agree with you. I think he'd be 12-1.
And shorter. Like, I'm looking there at Zakuski. I wouldn't be taking that form of him beating Headman or Headway or whatever he is, literally, to be honest with you. I watched that race back, just going on Zakuski here beating Headway, and Kieran Schumacher held on to Headway plenty long enough for a horse that's going to need further and a stiffer trip. I wouldn't be taking that form massively, literally, to be honest. This Royal Meeting, Jesus Christ, like, he won his maiden in Yarmouth, right? Travelled through the race like a good horse, was punted off the boards, And afterwards, Vince Soror said, like, look, he's still a really weak horse. He's going to improve a lot. And that still didn't stop him 4 weeks later from sending him over to Shanti to run in the Criterium International, where he beat Hermosa by 3/4 of a length. But the winning distance does not tell the story of that race. Simeon had a double handful 2 furlongs out, pulled him out into the middle on his own. So he had no horses around him. He was having a look around, and it was hands and heels riding to beat her easily. And
yeah,
I mean
she was
easy.
Second in the Filly's Mile, wasn't she? So that's solid form.
Exactly. Yeah. She's a very, very, very good yardstick. And for a horse that's supposedly weak, having only his second ever start in a Group 1 in a different country, to beat her in the manner he beat her, I don't know how he's 25-1. For me, he's an 8-9-1 shot. Considering Zakuski's a 9-1 shot, or Calix is a 10-1 shot. Just, I'm looking at horses there that are half his price that I don't think have anywhere close to the ability he has and potentially will have. I can see tons of improvement coming from this lad. And he's 100-1 in the exchange. That probably tells you he's not going here. But Jesus Christ, if he was, I would be absolutely all over him. I'd take 12-1 if I knew he was definitely going.
Okay, before I get your best bets and your second best choices, if you like, what about Line of Duty? We've not spoken about him. You know, he got the vote in the stewards' room, didn't he, in the Breeders' Cup? But he's progressed into a nice horse, hasn't he, Dave?
He did extremely well to win over there. I was on him, actually. He got William Buick out of a lot of trouble. He got Mullard on the inside. Again, Massar was beaten in that race, of course.
And if you like pedigrees, Sam's Jacqueline Quest, who won the 1,000 games.
Exactly, it is there.
First past the post.
I really, really like him. I'd slightly worry about him if it came up really quick, the ground. And I've just got him down as more of a 10 furlong derby horse at the moment, mainly the way that he races and the way he came through that. I like him a lot. Interesting what the guys are saying there. You know, I think that Darren's absolutely spot on. I've got a lot of time for Royal Meeting, but there are 10 or 12 of these. It could just be a sensational, you know, three-year-old year. If you look down some of these, Phoenix Thoroughbred have got a couple. Kadara and Magic J, they cost the absolute world by Scat Daddy. One from one, could be anything's. Gosden's even got a couple more down there. There's a couple of unexposed O'Brien horses, USS Michigan, not, you know, that type. Last year...
Best crop of three-year-olds in a long, long time, Dave.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
For about 5-6 years, I haven't seen a better crop. The Colts anyway, whatever about the fillies, they're not much use, but the Colts are definitely are the best in a long, long time.
There's a horse called Great Scott as well that I just want to mention. We were talking off air before this. Yeah. He's a little bit unlucky not to be unbeaten. He was only just beaten by Magna Grecia. And... I got 50-1 is a big price about him. A colleague of mine that I know who I respect a lot, I won't name him, but he's mad keen on this horse. And he's expecting him to go for the Craven and try his luck. And that's a meeting that Dascombe does do quite well at.
Yes, yeah.
He could be one that we might see coming down. I'm not suggesting for any minute that he's going to win, but 50-1 is a bit of an insult. I think he's just been totally overlooked.
Okay, I like that. We must hurry up because, as I say, we've got the 1,000 guineas to cover. So before we go for a break, I just want your main bet and then an outsider or an each way pick. Darren, I'll go to you first.
I'm going to stick up Royal Meeting and just... keep the fingers crossed and start writing letters to see Vince Soror to run him. Another horse then that I give half a mention to that I think has been slightly discounted is Phoenix of Spain for Charles Hills. He has some decent back form there. I know he's been beaten and he hasn't got the sexiest profile, but he's just one I think that has been a little bit disrespected by you. I think he's 33s or 40s there, maybe even bigger again. Maybe one I wouldn't just forget about. He could improve again as a 3-year-old, and he hasn't got that much point.
Yeah, nice horse, and he's got the form, as you say. Tom?
If there's any giving the ground, Too Darn Hot will win by 5, and if it's rattling fast, Too Darn Hot will win by 1 from Magna Grecia.
Okay, nicely summed up, Dave.
Yeah, a lot of love for Magna Grecia out there. I think he's rock solid. I do like Zakuski more than the boys do. I think if he turns up the Craven, I think we might just be seeing one here. Again, it's all about the favourite.
Okay, and we'll be back to discuss the Phillies version just after this.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Guineas Anti-Postcast. As promised, we're going to look at the 1,000 Guineas, the Phillies version. Now, lads, we've spoken about the strength in the Colts. The Phillies perhaps not looking quite as strong, Dave, would it be fair to say?
Completely different race to the Colts. It always has been, it always will be. Why? Because Philly's changed so much over the winter. And that there is a couple of interesting horses with that in mind that we'll get to that might throw up a bit of debate, I think. And at the moment, it's just 10-1 the field race. It that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, it's wide open. Darren, just run us through the prices.
Yeah, as the betting suggests, there's not too much between them all. Maddie Skitter Scatter for John Ox now is our 8-1 fav. Berryland is 10s, Just Wonderful is 10s, Lady Kaya is 12s after her impressive victory on the weekend, Dancing Vega is 14s, East is 14s, Antonia de Vega is 16s, Dandu is 16s, Goddess is 16s, Iridesa is 16s, and it is 20s bar.
Now, I'm hoping I might have sort of settled on the horse that I like in this race, but let's start off at the top of the market with Fairyland, winner of the Loudon, the Cheveley Park. She's by Kodiak. Dave, is she going to progress forward and really set the scene alight this season?
Oh, I'm in two minds about her. I was a fan of hers as a two-year-old. I backed her when she got beaten in a hat-trick big at Royal Ascot, and I thought, that's actually the only time she got beaten. I thought she should have won that day. And she proved me right at York and obviously at Newmarket. She's a Kodiak, like you say, and there's quite a bit of speed there. I don't think she'll be wanting any further than a mile anyway. Mm. Certainly if she does get it, she's absolutely rock solid. There's loads to like about her. She's really straightforward and she does like a bit of use made of her. And we know she goes on the track as well, but it's slightly underwhelming.
I'm slightly less impressed than Dave, Tom. I sort of think, again, she shapes very much as a sprinter and she didn't do anything terribly impressively last season, for all that she did win it, and I'm probably not giving her enough credit for that.
Yeah, but a little bit harsh, Maddie. What was it, 5 out of 6 Group 1 wins? I like her. I like her. I don't know if she'll stay, but I'm not too worried about fillies at this stage of the season. We've had so many times we come with these 6 furlong, 2-year-old fillies that no one says is going to stay, and they do quite a few of them. Attraction would be a good example. A few others have managed to get home down the ski slope at Newmarket there. I think she's got a good chance, yeah. I'm a little bit different from the boys. I thought that the English 2-year-old colts were miles better than the Irish, and I thought the Irish 2-year-old fillies were miles better than the English.
Mm.
So I would give her a good chance. Yeah, I trained by by Aidan. I think she'll get the trip. Yeah, why not? Why not? What's not to like?
Okay, I'm clearly being too negative. Darren, who are you in agreement with?
I kind of come down the middle. Yeah, I can see the angle for her, and she was professional is the word that comes to mind when I think of Fairyland last year. Like, not spectacular necessarily for all she was, quite good, but she just got the job done. Something that actually might fly a little bit under the radar is the horse that she beat last year, the Mack and Bullet, won a Grade 2 in America last night.
I saw that.
There's the first bit of the form franked anyway. For me, I'd have serious reservations about her getting 6 furlong, a mile, and I'd also have reservations about her even training on in the first place. But would I back her at 10 to 1? No, I wouldn't, to be honest. Mm.
Yeah, I guess she is still a pretty big price for a favourite in a classic like this. It's not like she's the same price as Too Darn Hot, is it? So maybe I'm being a bit harsh. Let's move on to a wonderful filly in Skitter Scatter. Won the Moyglare, beating Lady Kaya, who came out and was really impressive at the weekend. She's really likeable filly. Scat Daddy, of course, her sire. Dave, another one, would you potentially be worried about her training on staying?
Yes. I think I'm not going to please Tom by saying this because I've read his article. And I read him at the weekend, Tom, and I know that you're really, really keen on this. The John Ox thing is interesting. I just don't think she's big. I'm worried about other fillies sailing past her. On form, she should be favourite. There's no doubt in that. But I am worried about her, and she did need a run to come good last year. She started off in March at Dundalk over the 5, if you remember. I should probably move this over to Tom now, because I know you're a big fan.
Take it away, Tom.
Look, I just think she's the best felt form. You know, I mean, when you're, you know, at this stage of the season, when you're looking at Guineas races, when they haven't run yet, you can only go on form. I don't know whether she's, how big she is, how small she is, whatever, you know, whether she'll like the track, whatever. She's got the best form. She's won the best races. And so when I did the race and she was 14 to 1, it was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Because she can run the fastest on
Tom,
what we've seen so far.
Is this one of the worst or most, you know, sort of scary races that you have to do each year?
No, I love it. It's my favourite race. I've had great success in the Guineas.
The 1,000,
yeah, absolutely love it.
And what do you look at? Just the form, then? You're not worried about the size?
I think it's the last two-year-old race of the season. That's what John Gosden always says. That the 1,000 Guineas is the last two-year-old race of the season. You look at it and it always goes. Very, very seldom does it go to a maiden winner. Unlike the 2,000 Guineas, which has a history of going to some horses that come from nowhere. This race, very, very seldom. Ganati did it, but very, very few do.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. I always think of that filly, basically. Yeah.
Very, very few do. And I think...
Some surprises have come in this race. I'm thinking of like a homecoming queen, you know.
Yeah, but
they
all run lots as 2-year-old guineas, as 2-year-olds.
Winter was another one, though, wasn't she, Tom? She was second string on the day. She came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Yeah, there's a few that float around. Of course there are. Of course there are. And tend to be, you know, when you've got Aidan O'Brien and you've got 500 Galileo fillies, you're going to find one at some stage of the
Fair
season.
Enough.
But, that was my thinking behind it. Do I know how she's trained on? No. Do I know whether she'll like the track? No. Do I know if something's going to fly bastard? No. But when I was doing it, I thought she was the best filly there was last year. So it was simple. It was an easy call for me. Would I back her at 5-1? Of course I wouldn't. You know, on the day, but at 12-1 or 14-1 or whatever she was, I thought it was pretty damn obvious.
Yeah, I don't think many people could disagree with that, to be fair. Darren, Skitter Scatter, what are your thoughts?
Couldn't agree more with Tom. Could not agree more with him. We're 8-1, there's as big as 10s out there. For me, she could be a little bit shorter than that again. As Tom says, it's really simple. She just has the best form. Every time she ran last year, she was coming into the race and she was disrespected in her price. Like I think the shortest she ever went off was 7-2. And all she did was improve and improve and improve. You have the John Ox factor this year, like that can only be considered a positive. Like I'm sure Pat Prendergast will still have plenty to say, but having John Ox there as a guy who's been there, done that, that can only be a positive for this filly's chances. Her win in the Moy Glare was obviously massively impressive, and Lady Kaya coming out then at the weekend and absolutely bolting up despite only being half fit, that would give you a massive confidence in terms of this filly. I would not put anyone off having a bet on her at 8-1. We're not all as clever as Tom getting the double figure prices, but the
age
of the
Terran, aren't you? Every time she's run, you're exactly right. Lady Kaya, Hermosa, Zagitova, Main Edition, Beyond Reason, Just Wonderful, Joseph O'Brien's filly that won the Filly's Mile. She's beaten them all. You know, she's just beaten them all, and she's beaten them easily. So it was just as you said, and as I've said, I just thought she had the best form.
What about Just Wonderful? I mean, you've mentioned that Skitter Scatter's beaten her already, but Tom, I know you often say these Galileos and horses like that can just keep improving and keep improving. She is a Rockfell winner, fourth behind Newspaper of Record, who's going to come over for the Coronation Stakes, fingers crossed. Would you give her a shout?
She's by Dan Silly, actually.
One of those, along those lines.
But, I know Ryan Moore fancies her. Ryan Moore fancies her a bit. Yeah, he thinks that a sort of a hold-up late, sort of put your head on the line ride, and she'll go really well. Personally, I didn't see it. The Rockfell is normally a good trial, and I quite like the filly she beat that day, Dan Du. I think they ran the race again. I think Dan Du might beat her, but she just didn't do it, did she? What was it? One win, two wins, couple of wins. Every time she ran, people thought she was a wonder horse. She just didn't really do it for me. Maybe she obviously shows them something that I've not really seen on the track. For me, it's a big no with her.
Okay. Dave hasn't mentioned yet. Okay, she's by Dan Silly, but these own O'Brien fillies, they do tend to just keep improving and keep improving, don't they?
I don't like her very much. I thought she was a bit keen at times last year. I'm not sure exactly how she's going to get over that trip to the Breeders' Cup. If I was being with one, I'd be with Fairyland, I think. Okay. That Dan Du is interesting. She's a great big filly, and Tom's right, she's a bit unlucky not to win that Rockville. I thought at 25-1 she's been overlooked.
Okay, let's keep going down the list then. East, Frankel filly second. We mentioned that Breeders' Cup run. She was second to Newspaper of Record. You've got Dancing Vega, who's the one I'm a little bit keen on, although ideally I would have liked to see her a little bit more. Iridessa, Antonia de Vega, Goddess, Dan Du, who we mentioned, Fashion Star, Pretty Pollyanna, the Mac and Bullet, who Darren mentioned. Where's your money going to be going, Darren? Are you sort of firmly nailing your colours to the mast with Skitter Scatter?
No, there's a few of them down the list at bigger prices I'd be half interested in. I'd start off there with East. She's not the easiest filly in the world to assess, just because obviously the two of her runs have come abroad, or the two most impressive runs, would say. I do remember I was working down on the with the lads on the day of her debut in Hamilton, and I remember her being absolutely punted off the boards. She duly did the business after that. Her run afterwards in France was pretty good. And then, to be honest, I think she'd have gotten a hell of a lot closer to Newspaper of Record with a little bit more luck and running and on a more conventional track. You know, she was hampered a couple of furlongs out, and it's hard to make up ground from behind at those tight American tracks. Like, they don't suit European hold-up runners at all. She's one there. She's 14s. I think there might be a small bit bigger out there. And by Frankel, you'd expect her to improve a lot for three as well. She'd be one I would give a fair favourable mention to. And then the other one is Pretty Pollyanna for Michael Bell and the Gredleys.
You're opening a can of worms there, mentioning her.
Why is that?
Well, I think she was a bit of a Marmite horse last year, wasn't she? I mean, everyone loved her. Pre-Morney winner, she was brilliant. And then in the Filly's Mile, did she not get home? What do we think happened?
I think that was just the end of a long year.
Okay.
I think she's been a little bit unlucky. She got a horrendous write-off to Esther D'Souza, and that is the one and only time you will ever hear me say that. And I love the guy, but that wasn't a great write-off him in that race. She was kind of held up when she should have been. I think she actually has the stamina for a mile. Her last run, yeah, I'd forgive her that. Her run was at Newmarket, beaten was at Main Edition by 7 lengths. For me, that was the single best 2-year-old filly's performance last year in the UK or Ireland, that I saw anyway. If she could improve again for 3 and kind of learn to settle a little bit and just come out a fresher filly, she's one that, again, I wouldn't be giving up on. Like, they held her in such a high regard last year.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like Tom would usually agree with that, but he probably doesn't because I seem to be getting a lot wrong today. Tom, who would you want to mention further down?
I like Pretty Pollyanna a lot. Yeah, I don't, you know, fully concur with all that what Darren said there. Dancing Vega, I think, is an interesting filly. Maddie, I think you mentioned her there.
Mm, yeah, I like her.
I'm pretty sure that Rafe Beckett thinks he's the best of his fillies, and he had lots of good ones last year. He won listed races and group races with 2 or 3 Lope de Vega fillies. She looked really good at Doncaster over a mile. I don't see any problem with that. I think that's her trip myself. Mm. I think the form worked out well. The horse she beat easily on the bridle won a listed race afterwards. I think she's due to run in the Fred Darling. Yeah, on Saturday, yeah. Is
Happy
it the
days,
Darling,
I need to get
the,
on before then. Or the
Red Darling, I think, yeah.
The Dubai Duty Free or whatever it's called now. So we'll know more about her now. I'm not sure at this stage on what she's done. She should, you know, I wouldn't want to back her now at whatever Darren said, they're 12 or 14 to 1 now on what she's done.
Mm.
But if she comes out and wins at Newbury on Saturday, I think she'll be favourite. Didn't love East. I thought she might need soft ground myself, yeah. By Frankel. That was my issue with her. There's one. Dandu was the other interesting one. I know Dave mentioned her. I thought she for David Ellsworth, she's a dandy man filly, but she looks like she'll stay a mile. So she would be one. And there's one that Michael Stout's got off Rafe Beckett, actually, which it's been well backed in the last couple of days. A horse called Queen Power. Now, I didn't see it in her debut that she was anything extremely special. But when these Stout ones get backed at this sort of stage for a guineas, I always put my ears up and take notice because they normally have been working really well. So she's obviously done something nicely in the last few weeks for people to start backing her. As I said, though, I tend to go with the form. At the moment, I'm skitter-scatter man, really.
Okay, I like that, Dave. Quickly.
Yeah, she is very interesting, Tom. I agree. She's gone to Stout, as you say. King Power paid 500 grand for her. She's got a really nice pedigree and she beat 2 subsequent winners at Newmarket.
They've got off to a great start with Sylvester, haven't they?
Yeah, it's interesting that she's just gone to Stout. It'll be interesting to see whether she maybe is entered for a trial or not. But he's got great
record
in this race.
I like that Bangkok they've got.
Yeah, I just thought at 20 to 1, this is the type of race where she's one of a couple of dark ones, I think. So,
okay.
Very interesting.
Okay, let's clarify our selections now then. A nap and another selection, Dave.
Dancing Vega, all the way. And keep an eye on that filly I just mentioned, Queen Power. But Dandu would be the next best.
3 there. Darren?
Skitter Scatter would be probably my main selection, even at the price she is. There's just one other filly I want to give a speculative mention to, Evaden O'Brien's. Hasn't got a whole pile of coverage, and that's Frosty. She's a full sister to Winter, who would have won the guineas last year, the year before, whatever it was. So she won on debut at Dundalk, sent off a fairly big price, and like all Evadens, you'd imagine she'd have improved for that. And to be honest, I think winning that maiden was the worst thing that could have happened to her. Because she then was forced, for her second run, she had to step up and fast, which I don't think she was at all ready for. Like, if you remember back to Winter, her full sister, she had a very inauspicious start to her career as a 2-year-old. You know, she took 3 goes to win her maiden, and it was only as a 3-year-old she really blossomed. Like, she improved about 50 pounds as a 3-year-old. And I think this could be, I think there's a possibility that could be the same here with Frosty. Like, that run at Dundalk was very, very impressive. Like, very quiet run. It was under hands and heels, and she just did it very easily. She went to Newmarket then for a Group 3 and just, it all went wrong for her. Mm. Everything went wrong for her. She was stuck on the outside. She got into the dip. She shit herself. She didn't know what was after happening. She effectively pulled herself up. And I just wouldn't give up on her just yet. I'm not saying she's definitely going to be ready for the 2,000 guineas. And she's entered in a Group 3 at Nace for the weekend after. So she might be one for further down the line. But she's a filly I'd say keep on side this year. But sorry, my selections are, Skitter Scatter and I. Chance East each way as well.
Thanks, Darren. And finally on to you, Tom.
Well, I've backed Skitter Scatter and Dancing Vega. I'm interested in Dandu and Queen Power to see how they progress over the winter. And I will just throw in one. I'm not even sure she's entered. But Happen, who was second to Lady Kaya in the Guineas trial on Saturday. I thought she ran a really eye-catching race. Warfront out of Alexandrova. She probably won't be supplemented in, but we've seen weirder things happen from the Aidan O'Brien yard over the years. And I thought she ran a really interesting race as on her first start of the season.
Perfect. Thanks very much. So many horses to keep an eye on there. That's it for today's Anti Postcast. Thanks to for joining us. Thanks for Dave, Darren and Tom for their tips. And we'll see you soon.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.